And one of the pastors asked just a question, you know, of the good news, you know, when we talk about that and we share that good news. What is that? And we have all kinds of good things with the good news, don't we? I mean, there is good news with the good news. Amen? And so that's good. But we kind of got into 1 Corinthians 15. And he was sharing some things, and then I got home and I began to look at it a little bit. And in 1 Corinthians 15, it talked about, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you also are saved, that if you hold fast that the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, and that was what? That Christ did something for us, died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Now, we get into a lot of things when we get out into the world and sharing our testimony and sharing what the church is about and sharing what God is all about. And they're all good because through Jesus, he said, "I come to give you life and to have it more abundant." We receive our healing by his stripes. We are what? Healed. Through the peace of God that we have, that we can walk through this life and have strength and comfort and joy and all of these things that make up a good life, don't they? But I think sometimes, and I don't think as a church that we've really not focused on sin, but we don't talk a lot about sin, and really Jesus came to take care of that for us. And he's come to take care of the sin of today for people outside the church, hasn't he? To realize that what he has done way back on the cross and his initial purpose or his main purpose of coming upon this earth to walk like man was to take man's sin from him, to wash the sin as white as snow by the blood. And we'll get into the next few weeks out because we don't want to just stop at the sin, because when you get down into the part of this and that he was buried, and this is a thing that we begin to see how powerful our Savior is, because he was buried. But then what happened? Ooh, he rose again. On that third day, according to what? The Scriptures. And that he was seen by Peter and multitudes of people, 500 at a time, and different his disciples and different groups of people. So it wasn't just he arose and went off and nobody saw him. It was, again, a testament to he arose, he was seen, he ministered for another 40 days after that, and then he ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of God the Father. But we've got to continue to understand, or at least make sure we remember, because a lot of times today we don't hear about the blood. We hear about the cross at Easter, but we sometimes don't hear about the cross after that. We hear about Jesus coming as a babe. We find that if I go to Matthew, and the very beginning of that part here in Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus," or Savior, "and he will save his people from their sins." We share that at Christmas, and he is a babe, and we share the cross at Easter. But I think we've also got to remember to keep this on the forefront day in and day out in our churches. Yes, he came as a babe to take our sins. He came here for a purpose to reconcile us back to who? God. And without that, you're not going to be reconciled. And so we've got to understand that there is only truly one way to God. As a Sunday school class back there, and this gentleman that was high up in a lot of the music industry with the Beatles and all that, and he dived and had a problem and all this, he found out that, you know, when he started going down, he got into New Age things and, you know, guru stuff and all these things, and got really good at that for probably 10 years, he said, you know. But that wasn't the answer. But he thought, he told this one Christian lady that came to start witnessing to him that, well, you're God, there's many ways up the mountain. There's many paths up the mountain. And we hear that today, don't we? And sometimes we hear it even in places that are called churches, that oh, there's more than just one way. There's this way and that way, and all these things work out, and God would desire that none would perish and all that. And we've shared on that sometimes in the past. But we also understand that he's given us that free will, and we've got to make a choice to choose this day who we're going to serve. And the first thing we've got to do is we've got to understand that we were all sinners and that we need a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. And so, here we go. When I looked at what Jesus has come about, and we will share that he has given us abundant life, to share the truth, or he is the truth. He did the will of his Father. He came to serve. He came to preach. He came to judge the world. He came to reveal the Father. He came to seek the lost, to give us eternal life, to heal us. And all these things that I've just listed and read off are correct. Because of those things that we do have those abilities. We do have those things provided to us. And I just read Matthew 1:21. I began to go through some of the scriptures or the testaments or the books of the Bible, and just interesting to see where that was at in the beginning of each chapter or book, as far as where was it brought out that Jesus came for the sinner. And it's interesting, if you would just kind of do that yourself and just go, you know, now Matthew, Mark, and Luke are all going to be tied together, but go to John and go into Acts and go into Romans and onward all the way through the epistles and just find that Jesus came because of sin. Jesus didn't come, first of all, to heal us. Jesus didn't come to give us a warm, comfy feeling. Jesus came to take our sin. And I think is what the Gideons are so well at. And they've done it for many years and many years and many years. Many volumes of Bibles. I marvel at when I hear the distribution and how fast these things are coming out, and they're faster and more and more. And you would think by now you've used up every tree in the country. But you got to wait. You know, God keeps growing more, you know. But as I reflect on Pastor Hoblett and thinking how dear the Gideons were to him and his salvation and turning from where he was in life, it's kind of a parallel. I found it very interesting that as I was in the secular job market and working for that company that I worked at for several years, and I can remember today where I was at in the state of Wisconsin in a motel, because God was dealing with me on, Tim, I've got more things for you. Tim, I don't know what it was all about. I just knew that he was calling and he was tugging at me. Now, I had salvation with him, and I was trying to understand and walk that path and surrender my life to him, and I thanked him for removing the sin, and if I would sin that day that I could quickly repent, you know, as you're being led by the Holy Spirit and convictions of all these things, because we want to lead a life that is honoring to him. Like Jesus said, I do what I do to glorify him. And that's our message of today, and that's where we're at today in this natural thing that, yeah, we in our flesh, we will stumble and we will have a problem here and there, maybe. It's not saying I'm going to go out and look for a problem so that I can repent from that problem, but if something comes along and I fall and I do something that's not honoring to God, that I thank God for the Holy Spirit, for the conviction of him, because I want to be close to my God. And the only way that I can be close to my God is God can't be around sin. And I've got to continue to keep myself sin-free as much as I can and keep watching that and keep that on my radar and say, Lord, I want to make myself acceptable to you. I want to be honoring to you. I want to be able to be used by you into whatever it might be. And as that got into my life, we began to understand things as I was working in that secular job that for me personally, God was really doing some more things internally than I really didn't understand. And I get a kick and I enjoy when I watch videos of these gentlemen and ladies on some of these DVDs of what they were doing in the world and world success or whatever it might be, and how they were still missing something, and something happened, and God showed up, and God began to spread open some things into their lives of what God wanted, and they began to surrender a little bit more of themselves, and a little bit more, as we all should. surrender more of ourselves, right? And daily, we've got to surrender. I'm not totally, believe it or not, even as a pastor, I'm not 100% sold out to the things of God in all of my life and all of my being. I'm sure of that. Because there's still some things that I would desire this or desire that, but it's when those things happen that I've got to stop and say, but oh Lord, I want more of you. What is that going to take on my end? That video talked about pouring out. We've got to pour out ourselves so he can pour in himself and things of this nature that we can look at in Scripture. But getting back to the level of where we all come and why Jesus came about sin and where the Gideons, and I thank you, this kind of played into this whole thing. It's kind of neat that you guys are here. And I guess maybe as I was sensing and speaking and just meditating with God, saying, okay, God, where are we going today? And to kind of touch upon this, because Reedsburg, Wisconsin, the Voyager Inn, is where I really got a focus of what God was going to do in my life. And everybody that's been a part of this church already knows, because it's a scripture that I look at and I reflect on many times. Especially when sometimes you don't think that God is still directing you, or things are not unfolding as fast as you think, or you think, well, Lord, is this really what I sensed? Is this really you? And many times I would go back, and I still to this day. And I have found this, that even at times, guys, that the Lord is so good. Amen? Can we agree upon that? And he's so loving. And that when those times have hit, and this hasn't happened as much now as it did when the first two or three months after I left a full-time job and a career and all this good stuff, that I all of a sudden started hyperventilating and thinking, what did I do? When I got an email from a ministry that I had just signed on for email uplifting things, and I said, oh boy, you know, remember that day. Clicked on that thing, that email came up, and the same scripture hit me right there on that screen. Because I believe it was, well, I don't believe, I know it was my God confirming again what he has. Jeremiah 29:11. Now I know this is Jeremiah's letter to the captives. And I know it's talking about that. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive. I can look at that and say where I was at in my life, and many of us in our lives, when we don't realize it, we're captive. We're captive by the world. We're captive by the things of this life that we don't even realize we're captive of. We think we've got them, but in essence, they've got us. And so I wasn't carried off to Babylon or anything like that. But I believe I was captive to the things of this life. I was captive to what society says that you've got to have for success, that you've got to have a career, that you've got to build upon this, that you've got to grow, that you've got to develop, you've got to go to be successful. The captivity of this life. But then I get into 29:11, and it says this, that for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. When I read that, I began to think, what do I have to worry then? Why is there a worry within me that if I'm hearing from God and he's confirming some things, and as things are opening and developing, why can't I rest in what he is saying here? That he has plans for me. And you know, the thing is, guys, he's got plans for all of us in here today. He's got plans for all those people out there that are even away from him. It's our challenge, it's our call to go out there and to try to hook them up to the things of God. We got the testaments, we got these things from the Gideons and our churches and the New Testament handout things and all these different programs that we get into to help press or push or allow or whatever we want to call it, the word of God to go out there. And then it says, then you will call upon me and go pray to me and I will listen to you. You don't know how many times and how many people here, when you're going through a change of something in your life and a major shift or something, how many here know that you start praying to God? You know, there's something happening. You know it's happening. You want it to happen, but you don't know how it's going to happen. And you know God is there, but do you really know God is there? And, well, is it just me going crazy, or is it really God talking to me before I go crazy, you know? And all these things are going in your mind, and you're thinking, and then you come into God's scriptures, and when I thought, well, my goodness, that when I call upon him and go pray to him, that he'll listen. And that when I seek him, that I will find him. And then it goes on to say, but here's the clincher that I really stuck in my heart, because it is in your heart. It says that when you search for me with all your heart, it's very important that we search for God with all of our heart. And at that point in time, I was doing that, searching him, because I had a career, I had a family, I had this, I had God, and I wanted to do whatever I was wanting to do, but I wanted to honor God. And so thank God for, just like Pastor Hoblett, there was a Bible there. I went back to that room and that night, and I just said, oh, Lord, this is crazy. What's going on? And one of these Bibles, you know, I opened up and just started the Bible roulette. I said, okay, Lord, what is it? You know, it'd be great to send you into the New Testament or something like that, you know, but the Old Testament is powerful. The Old Testament really is powerful. And so anyway, he led me to that, and as that gentleman would say, and now you know the rest of the story. But I go to say that, to say this about how important the Gideons are, and any organization that shares the Word of God. I'll turn this back to your table. I just grabbed this off of your table. Because when they go out and they do these Bible distributions, and when they go out and share the Word, and when they go out there shaking hands, and I think you'll see on that slide up there, right? I mean, they're not just in the United States. They're around the world. They're in foreign countries. They're praying with people. They're actually received better over in sometimes foreign, well, not better. They are received better in foreign lands by governments and schools in foreign lands than they are here in our states. But they go forth and they do a lot of good. But, you know, they give them out this little testament here, and they've got them, you know, color-coded and different things for different organizational things. But that's a military, because it's like all camouflage. So can you see it? It's blending in. But they got all the information, the New Testament, Pledge of Allegiance, I think, up there. I don't know what all, but they've got the informational points here that you can look at. But the important thing about it is, and what I was wanting to share today, and we're going to get into some more, is that God loves you, all are sinners, and God's redeeming for sin. Remedy for sin is redemption. And then in my decision, it goes on that confessing to God that I am a sinner, I believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins on that cross and was raised for my justification, I do now receive and confess him as my personal Savior. Very simple, but very powerful. We don't understand what happens when people get... I tell you what, I've got some notes here, and it's one of these things that... I don't know, I've got a lot of things here that I'm not even getting into. One of those here, sin generally, but I can say probably always, brings pain. In some way, some fashion, some ability, sin will bring pain into your life. May not be today, right? But it could be months down the road. We don't know. But realization to know that that sin will cause pain. And Jesus came to take that sin away, to give us a life free of that. So let's just kind of look here as we got just a little bit of time. Because I'm going to share a little bit on the sin and what Jesus and some scriptures that just point that out. And then we're going to get into where in the 1 Corinthians 15 talks about that he was buried, that he rose again on that third day. Because that's the power of that testimony. Because see, our Savior lives today. Our God is the God. Amen? Amen? Our God is not a monument. Our God is not a statue. Our God is not some kind of a figurine over in the corner. And, well, this is what he looks like, you know. Our God is alive. Jesus manifested, you know, in the flesh as God, died, rose again, ascended to heaven. None of the others have done that, have they? I don't think so. So we got the best of the best. Amen? If you believe you got the best of the best, say amen. 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 Yeah, that's just like, woo, man. Just like, I was going to throw in some sports things and all that, but let's keep on track here, okay? Football season's back. I shared in Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He will save, save. Everybody say save.
Save.
All right. Let's take a look at that. To save, to heal, to cure, to preserve, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction, to deliver. Part of it means to save from physical death by healing and from spiritual death by forgiving sin and its effects. Sin has an effect, doesn't it? In some of the primitive cultures, it would be translated simply to say this, to give new life and to cause to have, here again, a new heart. And then let's look at 1575. Okay, that was being saved, right? So that's what he came to do, to save. Anybody been a benefactor of his saving grace? Hallelujah. So now, from their sins, sins is this. Sin is literally missing the mark. Failure, offense, taking the wrong course, wrongdoing, guilt. It could be in generic sense of wrongdoing or the principle and quality of actions, a sinful deed. But just remember that sin is basically telling us we've missed the mark of what it's all about. And who came to help us hit that mark? Jesus, by taking that sin away. So in our Bible, we find the following list of words for sin, and we're not going to turn to them, but as you look through scriptures and you hear of the word sin, it could come across as this. Transgressions in Psalms 32. Iniquity, Psalms 51. Wickedness, Genesis 6. Evil, Genesis 8. Rebellion, 1 Samuel. Uncleanness, Leviticus 16. Disobedience in Isaiah. Guilt, Isaiah. Wrongdoing in Proverbs. Unrighteousness, 1 John. Lawlessness, 1 John. Depravity, 2 Peter. In faults in Psalms 19. So we find that when we hear that word sin, there's some other words that are going to mean the same thing that as you read throughout scriptures of what it's all about. And lawlessness in 1 John 3:4, our transgression of God's will, comes by either not doing what God's law requires or by doing what it forbids. Let's read that again. Transgression of God's will comes by either not doing what God's law requires you to do, or it is by doing something that he forbids. Transgression, I'm sorry, can occur in thought. If you turn to 1 John 3:15. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has an eternal life abiding in him. So, thought. And that's the thing that, you know, as with Jesus came on the scene, we've come to find out that even in thought, our word is just like what? The action has actually taken place. And so it puts a little bit more, I think, to it to realize. And that's why, you know, if we lived in the Old Testament time, and it's like, well, you know, I didn't murder anybody, but I sure hate that person over there. Well, now what does Jesus say about that? That's sin. It's just like you've murdered them. You know, in the Old Testament, you might have actually committed the lust with a woman or the man. Now in the New Testament, you can just think about that and what is it like? It's like you've actually done that act. It is so important to remember that what he is trying to do and trying to help us understand is what we begin to think about in our thoughts, it's generally what we think about comes out in action, doesn't it? Remember the times I've shared about I can just start thinking. If we can just, that's why commercials are doing so good out there. That's why food commercials do wonderful, you know? I mean, let me see a special hamburger or a steak or a new meal at Olive Garden. And I start looking at that and go, wow, that looks pretty good on TV, you know? And then I've gone as far as this, and you don't have to raise your hand, but I know everyone here has probably been affected by this. But if you start thinking about a Culver's concrete mixer or something like that at 9 o'clock at night, oh, I've got to find a reason to go to the store, and while I'm at the store, I'm going to swing by Culver's to pick up that concrete to take home. And that just helps us understand that how important what we're thinking is and how long we think on something, generally it will surface in our actions in most cases, won't it? You talk to different ones that have gone awry of the law, you know, and they begin to think these things about this cohort or that group of people or this or that, and they said, well, I just kept thinking and thinking and thinking. The longer I thought about it, the madder I got, and the madder I got, I wanted to do something about it. Well, I just did something about it, and I went and shot him. Boom. Wow, you're up for murder or attempted murder. And what started that whole action? Oh, I was just thinking about that and how upset that was, you know? And so I think sometimes the world doesn't really understand, like, as you begin to think of these things, it's dangerous ground. That's why the Word of God says, you know, put our thoughts upon who? Him. Because if we put our thoughts upon Him, I think only I know is that all good and gracious things come from God. And God's not going to put that in my heart to do that. Now, God will put in my heart to forgive that person, maybe. Or whatever the case is. But we've got to be cautious and careful of how our thinking will get us into doing things that are sinful. But we got to get back to that square one, that Jesus came for the sinner. And as we go out and we share that message to the people out there, it could be your family. It could be a coworker. You've got to remain strong in that to know that Jesus came for you. He came for me. And the thing that I can share with you right now is my testimony is that I received Him. And when I received Him, a weight was lifted off of me. Well, you know, have you ever heard that when people say, like, you know, when I received Christ, it just seemed like I felt 20 pounds or 100 pounds lighter. I felt like I could stand up taller. I felt like my shoulders were back better. I felt like I could breathe when I received Christ. What was holding you down? What was weighing you down? What was holding you back? What was weighted upon you? Sin. Pressure, life, whatever it is, but generally sin. And when we get to that point in time to where we say, here, confess your sins to Christ, you know, and ask for forgiveness, and allow Him to remove that sin from you, people usually come out a little better, don't they? Because of why? Because of that sin was removed. That for that instant, millisecond, or whatever it was, when they received Christ up on the altar, out on the street corner, at the desk at work, wherever it is, at the coffee bar, I don't know. But once they receive Christ, there is an amazing supernatural thing that happens when you look at them and people go, you look different now. Why do you look different? I received Jesus. There's something new in my life. There's a weight has been lifted off of me. Sin. See, sin and the things that this world wants to hold upon us and the devil wants us to hold on to that sin is that sin will keep you what? Down. The sin. You talk about man having his thumb on you. You know, don't we use that in our business sometimes where people say, man, my boss or whoever are the higher ups, it seems like they got what? Their thumb right on me, man, just pressing me down. Well, in a sense, I think that's what it is like with sin in our life as we go through life without Christ. Is that sin has just got us and it's just going like this. And it's going to add a little bit more weight and a little bit more weight. And it's not that we're any better than any other out there, are we? You know, they might call, oh, you're a holy roller. Oh, you're a good do-gooder. Stuff like that. It's like, no! I was a sinner just like you, but I've been saved by grace. And I just knew that I needed to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And with my sin being gone, reconciled back to God, and now I know eternity when it comes, I'm going to be spending it with Him. There's a lot of pluses in all that, isn't there? I don't recall one negative thing about all those things. To me, it sounds like a very good plan. It sure beats what the world's got, you know, which is what? Pressure, stress, go, go, go. Work until you drop dead. Save up as much as you can and you think you've got it and then something happens in the market and it's all gone and then you get to start over again and, you know, all these things happening out there in the world markets. Or you look at the tragedies that we have experienced 15 years ago. I got listening last night, it was one of these things, a commentator said, you know, when that happened back on 9/11, it was one of these things that America lost its innocence or whatever, to the point of thinking that we were secluded from any harm from anybody outside our borders. That day, that single action, those three or four actions with all these planes taking down the buildings and going into the Pentagon, and that other plane, if it hadn't gone into Pennsylvania, probably would have been headed to the White House or the Capitol. You know, those were all signs of things that this can happen to you today. So it stops. Life changed. Society has changed. Have you noticed how society has changed over the last 15 years? Think back, guys. Just think back the day before. Just think, 9-1, 9-2, 9-3, life was good. We went on and enjoyed everything, had no really worries, had no concerns, didn't worry about this or that. And then after that tragedy struck, America has not been the same since. And now that's a worry, and that's out there. But I can say this. But that pressure is not upon me because I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I can pray for our nation. I can pray for our leadership. I can pray for God to do marvelous things around the world. And I can find peace and comfort in that, don't you? Don't you find that? In the world sometimes, and I'm sure they don't, have that. If you don't have Christ, you don't have peace. And the thing is, sometimes even in our churches, we have a false sense of hope because I go to church that I should have peace. But you can't have peace unless you really truly have the peace of God in you. Because you can't get it from a building. You can't get it from coming and sitting in these chairs. These chairs have no special things in them that once you get out of here, you're going to have, you know, 24 hours of peace now, Ina. You know? This whole row, you're going to have peace between now and Wednesday. It's okay now, you know? No, it's what you take out of here when you leave, that peace that's within you, and that peace is that of Jesus Christ. And it's really the peace that comes totally when we know that He's taken the sin from our lives and that I have a place to go to if I were to sin again, that I go quickly to repent and say, take this from me, Lord. Forgive me. Help me. Give me the strength not to do this again. Lord God, I want to honor You. I know this isn't honoring You. Help me with this. Help me with that. Give me the strength. For Your word says that when I am weak, You are strong. I've tried to do this habit or whatever the case might be all these years, and it's just not working out. I've come to the end, Lord, but I know that You've got strength that I don't. And if You really love me and You really want me, I want to surrender to You and I want to surrender this to You. And He's there to help us, isn't He? Hallelujah. So as we will continue on in the next few weeks, we're going to check out Matthew and John and Acts and Hebrews and 1 John a couple of times on the purposes of Jesus. And I tell you what, I don't know if it'll do the same thing for you, but I would encourage you to go through some of the scriptures and just read again that Jesus came to take the sin away. Jesus came to take that sin. Jesus came to do this, Among other things, which are also very good indeed. But until you get rid of that sin, it's kind of hard for anything else to kind of fall into place, isn't it? You know, you can't continue to sin and think you've got all the blessings of God coming in and all the protection and all the provisions and all the providences of God for your life. And as I end with this today, 1 John 1:10, I just want to... If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. We got to own up to it. You know, in the business world, sometimes when you do something, they say you need to own up to that, or own up to it. You need to own up to that because that's what you did. Now, once you own up to it, you know, we can work through it and take care of it, or whatever it is, reprimand, but we'll work through this or that. But, you know, we have to realize that we are all sinners, saved by grace, saved by the blood of Jesus. Amen? And what's going to be greater as we get into this a little bit more is realizing that the one that saved us also died, but also rose. And that's where the power is. Tell you what, when you bring back the dead, when you die and come back to life, there's something happening there. There's a lot of testimonies out there of people doing those things and reading some things, even with Smith Wigglesworth and things of that nature, but powerful things out there. And they're still for today, but I'm just saying that, you know, God is good. He sent Jesus for a purpose to take our sins away. And I would say to you today that if you're dealing with something along that line, even today, ask for forgiveness, turn it over to Him, ask Him for strength, ask Him for help, get with a brother or a sister to keep you in prayer, whatever it might be. But let's pass that point to where we're lightening that load and emptying ourselves so that He can fill us with Himself. Amen? The music team would like to feel free to join us.